The nation's first museum dedicated to the U.S. Constitution opens tomorrow in Philadelphia. With a mix of historic artifacts and the latest in interactive media exhibits, museum planners are hoping to inject some excitement into a 216-year-old document. From member station WHYY in Philadelphia, Brad Linder reports.
When most people think of the Constitution, they think of the Bill of Rights. But even when it comes to freedoms of speech, religion, and assembly, many Americans don't know their government that well.
I used to know. I'm getting too old. I've been at school too long.
Even the construction workers, who didn't give their names, but have been spending the last few months putting the finishing touches on the 160,000-square-foot Constitution Center, have a tough time naming the three branches of U.S. government.
Congress, legislator, and Senate.
The judicial branch, executive branch, and legislative.
You got one hand watching the other hand, so everybody watches everybody else. That's real important.
Less than 6% of we adults can name the freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment.
Joe Torsella is CEO of the National Constitution Center.
More teenagers on the eve of voting can name the Three Stooges and the three branches of government.
In 1998, the Constitution Center sponsored a study of American knowledge about the Constitution. Torsella says the results were dismal. The $100 million Constitution Center, with its modern stone and glass facade, is just two blocks from Philadelphia's historic Independence Hall, where the Constitutional Convention took place in 1787. Museum officials expect 1 million visitors each year. They'll see a video presentation followed by nearly 100 multimedia interactive displays.
You can sit at a replica of the Supreme Court bench and hear real oral arguments from some Supreme Court cases and spend a few minutes with the case and render your verdict and then see what the Supreme Court decided.
For example, in the 1967 landmark case, Katz versus the United States, the Supreme Court considered the right to privacy in the semi-public location of a telephone booth. John Martin argued for the government.
What is protected is the right to privacy.
The court ruled in favor of Katz that constitutional rights extend to public spaces where there's a reasonable expectation of privacy. The Constitution Center also has its share of artifacts, from the inkwell Lincoln used to sign the Emancipation Proclamation to the toolkit used to break into the Watergate. What the museum doesn't have is the original Constitution. It's staying in the National Archives in Washington, D.C. But Torsella says the next best thing is in Philadelphia, one of the first public printings of the document.
There are, we think, less than 20 of them in existence. And it was the first time that we the people heard the news about the document that begins, "We the People."
One of the final displays in the museum is a wall of questions. Is the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, a collective or individual right? Does the Patriot Act threaten civil liberties? And there's space for visitors to leave their answers.
In some ways, maybe the most interesting thing in this very high-tech whiz-bang museum will be little snips of paper that get written on with felt pens and posted up, because in that act of people joining the conversation is the essence of what the place is all about.
Even though the building was planned before September 11, 2001, there have only been a few design changes. Among them, a low wall surrounding parts of the museum. It looks like a nice place to sit with a cup of coffee, but it's designed to prevent cars from driving into the building. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, recipient of the 2003 Philadelphia Liberty Medal, will be among those visiting Philadelphia for the Constitution Center opening tomorrow morning. For NPR News, I'm Brad Linder in Philadelphia.